Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at towertotruth.net. Test All Things is a Bible discernment, evangelistic program dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity today. Today we'll be interviewing Mark Robinson from Shalom Outreach Ministries. Shalom Outreach Ministries is a ministry dedicated to bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to God's chosen people, the Jews. Mark has served in Jewish ministries for 30 years. He worked with Peace for Israel for 4 years and also with the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry, where he was the Western States Director. Then in September of 2000, Mark established the ministry he's at today called Shalom Outreach Ministries. Mark has written tracts geared for Jewish ministries such as One God or Three, Identifying the Messiah, and Can You Be Jewish and Christian? He is also the editor of the quarterly publication called Thy God Reigns newsletter. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you, Fran.
Mark, why are you interested in Jewish evangelism?
I believe God has put this burden on my heart. I'm Jewish, but I've known many Jewish believers that did not have an express interest in Jewish people. And a number of years ago, right after I got saved, I just started to get a great burden for reaching out to my kinsmen according to the flesh.
Okay, fair enough. A doctrinal question for you. How do Jews view the afterlife? Do they believe anything like Christians do? Do they believe in heaven, hell, resurrection? Or how do they view salvation?
Generally, the afterlife is not an issue with Jewish people. In Orthodox thought, there is a belief in eternal life, in heaven, and hell. But when we're talking about the average Jewish person, there is no real thought about the afterlife. Generally, in the Jewish thinking, it's if we live righteously here, later on will take care of itself. So the average Jewish person that you might talk to or meet would have no developed interest or thoughts, really, on the afterlife.
Yeah, it's interesting. How do Jews view Jesus Christ? There's a big question. How do they view the New Testament in general?
The New Testament they will not accept at all. They look at the New Testament as a Gentile book and not for them. And if at all they believe the Bible will just be what we refer to as the Old Testament, although they would not refer to it as the Old Testament, obviously. It's the only one they accept. And so the best way to refer to it would be as the Jewish Scriptures or the Hebrew Scriptures, which is generally how they refer to it. And so they will completely reject the New Testament. They will say it's the Gentile book, the Christian book, but have nothing to do with them. As far as Jesus himself, Jesus in Jewish mind may be a good man, maybe a prophet, but that's at best what he is. They do not consider him the Messiah. They certainly do not consider him God. And so there has been an increase in the interest of the Jewish community about the person of Jesus. But I think it's more of an intellectual interest than a spiritual pursuit. But many Jewish people are believing in Jesus today, thousands upon thousands, and recognizing the biblical Jesus, and not the Jesus that is developed by liberal thought or Jewish thought.
Okay. If you just joined us, we are talking with Mark Robinson from Shalom Outreach Ministries. If you want to know more about Judaism and Jewish evangelism, you can contact Mark. You can give him a phone call at area code 619-461-0109. That's 619-461-0109. Or you can go to his website at shalomoutreachministries.com. Now, Mark, say we want to witness to a Jew. Is there a way that we should approach them? Is there any topic that we should start with? Is there any topic we should avoid?
There are a number of ways that you can introduce a spiritual conversation with a Jewish person. Israel is of great interest to the Jewish people, especially today with what we know is happening in the Middle East, with the war that is going on. It's a very much of a concern with Jewish people. I actually have a friend in the church who is a nurse, and she has approached one of the Jewish doctors around the War of Israel, told how she is praying for the Jewish people, praying for Israel, and hoping they win this battle. And this has really opened up a conversation, and he recently took a message that I preached on the security of Israel, which also brings in Jesus into that. And so you can develop Israel and prophecy and then transition there to the only hope that Israel has, the Jewish people have, which is in Jesus the Messiah. So that would be one way. Using the holidays would be another great way. Ask them questions. What about Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, as that's coming up relatively soon, in a month or so, or next spring when Passover comes, or Hanukkah, and learn a little bit about it yourself so you can transition and in Hanukkah show that Jesus is the light of the world, where in Yom Kippur you can talk about sin and atonement and how do you get a blood sacrifice, the covering for your sin, and Passover, who is the Lamb of God, and what does all this speak of. So it's a little bit of research on your part, but it's a great way to introduce a spiritual conversation. Ask questions. Jewish people are very opinionated. There's actually a saying among the Jewish community, you have two Jews together, you have three opinions. And so if you ask a question, they'll oftentimes give you their opinion, and you can then transition into a spiritual conversation and ask them what they think about Jesus as the Messiah, if they've ever considered that possibility. So you're always looking for that transitional point where you can go from current events, from a Jewish holiday, something of that nature, and transition to a conversation about spiritual things and specifically Jesus as the Messiah.
So you can basically kind of earn their respect if you kind of do a little homework and learn a little bit about their culture and their customs and their holy days. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, Fran.
Okay. Very good. Very good. If you just joined us, we are talking with Mark Robinson from Shalom Outreach Ministries. If you want to know more about Jewish evangelism, I recommend you either give him a call at area code 619-461-0109 or go to his website at shalomoutreachministries.com. Now, Mark, what are some common objections that Jews have when you try to share the gospel with them, and how would you answer them?
There are a number of common objections that Jewish people have. Some of them are theologically based, and I'll get to a couple of those in just a moment. But probably the most common one is not really theological, but sociological. And that was, I was born a Jew, I will die a Jew. And this cuts across the entire spectrum of Jewish people, whether they be Reform or conservative or Orthodox in their religious belief, or whether they be very secular and atheistic or agnostic. They are very proud, usually, of their Jewishness. And to believe in Jesus and become a Christian is to stop being a Jew in their mind. Convert is a word we should not use in talking to Jewish people, because in their mind, it means I stop being Jewish and I become a Gentile or a Christian. Gentile and Christian are synonymous. And although biblically convert is an excellent word, biblically it means a turning of the heart back to God. But they have a different understanding, and so we want to be able to communicate properly. And so you need to encourage them in their understanding that you were born a Jew, you will die a Jew. It doesn't matter what you believe. And I will oftentimes just emphasize the Jewishness of Jesus, that we are believing in the Messiah of Israel. We are following the teachings of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And sometimes I'll even ask, should Jewish people believe in the Messiah? Well, the obvious answer, the only answer to that is yes. But then I'll ask the question, if Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, shouldn't Jewish people believe in him? Well, the only answer to that is yes. Now, oftentimes they might say, well, he's not the Messiah, and so I don't believe in him. But that was not the question. The question is, if Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, should Jewish people believe in him? And after you get them to see that it's just a the only answer is yes, then you ask a transitional point at that point, well, how would we recognize the Messiah? The Old Testament scripture, the Hebrew Bible, has the answer. And so that's a very common problem. I was born a Jew, I will die a Jew. There are a number of other problems that Jewish people have. One of them is our Messiah has not come yet. We are still expecting him. And so you need to go in and show that there are promised in the Old Testament, the Jewish Bible, that there are two promises of the coming of the Messiah. He first came as the Lamb of God, as the Savior of the world. He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so you can just show some of the scriptures there. Daniel 9, and the Messiah would be cut off, and Isaiah 53, and some other passages on that first coming of the Messiah. And then one more that I will mention that is a problem, and that is that we don't believe the Messiah is God. And again, that's built on an erroneous understanding of the Jewish teaching, and you need to go to the Scripture, and again, the Jewish Scriptures, and show that the Bible teaches that the Messiah is God. Micah 5:2, Isaiah 9:6, and other passages. So those are some of the problems that the Jewish people have.
Okay, so we need to have some key scriptures in our back pocket ready to show them if we get the opportunity, right?
Correct, yes.
Right, right. Today we're talking with Mark Robinson from Shalom Outreach Ministries. If you want to contact him, you can go to his website at shalomoutreachministries.com. You can contact him on the phone at 619-461-0109. Mark, what percentage of Jewish people really understand their faith?
Very, very few really understand their faith. For many, it's just a tradition, and they follow the teachings that they have grown up with. I know, for example, when I grew up, and every year we went to the Passover Seder, and it was just a ritual. It was a tradition. I greatly enjoyed it and looked forward to it every year. But it was really rote. We read through the Haggadah, enjoyed the fellowship of the people there, the family members and friends, but really didn't understand what this whole thing was about. And that is probably the vast majority of Jewish people. It's tradition. You know, if you remember Fiddler on the Roof, if you've ever seen it, and Tevye, tradition, you know, it's all tradition, and there's not really a lot of understanding among the majority of Jewish people.
Gotcha, gotcha. Again, today we're talking with Mark Robinson from Shalom Outreach Ministries. His website, shalomoutreachministries.com. Maybe one last quick question there, Mark. Is God really important in the lives of most Jews today?
Not really. Most American Jews are very liberal. Now, many are agnostic, many are atheistic in their belief. And among the liberal Jews who believe in God, I would call them practical atheists. In other words, they don't believe in special revelation, the divine inspiration of the Scriptures, nor in reality do they have a personal relationship with God. God is just there, whatever that means. So they have no authoritative source for truth, no God who transcends mankind, but yet is personal. And so they live based on the changing mores of culture and society. Practically speaking, they live good or bad as if there was no good and no instructions from that God on how to live. They are, in essence, practical atheists.
Mark, first question, maybe a loaded one, but why don't Jews believe Jesus is the Messiah?
Friend, there are a number of reasons for this. First, the overwhelming majority of Jewish people are just ignorant of their Jewish scriptures, and this includes the Orthodox. The average Christian who doesn't know a lot about the Old Testament still knows much more than the average Jewish person. Second, the persecution of the Jewish people through the centuries in the name of Christianity has produced a natural, or shall we say, repulsiveness to even considering Jesus as Messiah. This makes it difficult for a Christian to even have the opportunity to share the prophecies of Messiah found in the Hebrew Scriptures. There's been much persecution against the Jewish community historically in the name of Christ or by the church, and I'm talking not of Bible-believing churches, primarily the Roman Catholic Church, but a Jewish person doesn't differentiate between Roman Catholics and evangelicals. Now, that is changing a little bit today, especially with the evangelical support of Israel, but historically it has not been true, and that persecution has just made the Jewish people cringe when they think about Jesus Christ. And third, most Christians have no idea how to approach a Jewish person with an effective witness. They might try once or twice with a Jewish person and then become discouraged. Thus, what ends up happening is most Jewish people have not been witnessed to in a way where they might be able to relate to the possibility even of Jesus as the Messiah. So I would say there are those three reasons. Now, there are theological reasons, but practical reasons is the ignorance of the Jewish people of the Scriptures, the persecution historically against them in the name of Christ, and most Christians have not witnessed to their Jewish friends. They have not given an effective witness.
Okay, great. You know, when I read Isaiah 53, Jesus just jumps out at me. What do they do with that chapter?
Unfortunately, nothing. As I mentioned earlier, there's an ignorance of the Jewish scriptures, and there's almost a universal ignorance of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And if there's one passage of scripture to share with a Jewish person, it would be Isaiah chapter 53. Actually, there's a misunderstanding among some Christians that the Jewish people have taken Isaiah 53 out of their Bible. Now, that is not true. And what they are referring to is that in the Sabbath services, there are weekly readings. There's a reading of the Torah, and there's a reading portion from the Haftorah, which is the rest of the Jewish scriptures, although not all of that. And the entire five books of Moses, the Torah, is read in a one-year cycle. And you have the Haftorah that's read in the one-year cycle. It's the same passage of scripture every year on that particular week. And so they come to Isaiah 52, they read part of Isaiah 52 on that particular Sabbath, and then the next Sabbath jumps over to Isaiah 54. None of them have a Bible in front of them, it's just read, and so they don't, out of curiosity, read Isaiah 53. And so it's not taken out of the Jewish Bible, it's just not read in the prescribed readings of the Haftorah in the weekly service, the synagogue service. And that is unfortunate. Why did it happen like that? I'm not sure, but it is that way. And Isaiah 53 is just an amazing chapter, as you said, Fran. It just jumps out at you and speaks of Jesus as the Messiah. And if you would just ask a Jewish person to read Isaiah 53, not even comment on it, and just ask him after he has read it, who is this speaking of? Invariably, they'll say, this is Jesus. And oftentimes they'll even say, well, this must be the New Testament. It is that crystal clear. And actually, historically, in the Jewish community, there has been a recognition that Isaiah 53 does speak of the Messiah. There are some rabbis who have made some amazing comments upon this passage. Rabbi Moshe Cohen ibn Crispin in Spain in the 14th century said this, those who for controversial reasons apply the prophecy of the suffering servant to Israel find it impossible to understand the true meaning of this prophecy. Having forsaken the knowledge of our teachers and inclined after the stubbornness of their own opinions, their misinterpretation distorts the passage from its natural meaning, for it is given of God as a description of the Messiah, whereby when any should claim to be the Messiah, to judge by the resemblance or non-resemblance to it, whether he were the Messiah or not. And that's an amazing quote by a rabbi in the 14th century. And unfortunately today, some Jewish people who are aware of the chapter will claim it speaks of the nation of Israel. But it's so very clear from the reading it's not Israel. It's speaking of an individual. He was wounded for our transgressions. He, singular, for our, the nation, Israelites, transgressions. And there's a number of reasons why it doesn't speak of Israel as the nation. And actually, there's a Jewish writer, Gershom Shalom, in his book Shabbatai Zvi, who is a false messiah, and he wrote a huge book on him, says that in the Tannaitic period, the suffering servant passages had occasionally been interpreted as referring to the Messiah. And he goes on and he says, in order to undermine Christian exegesis, he was interpreted as a figure of Moses, or of Israel, or of the pious in general. In Jewish Christian disputations, the Jewish spokesman always denied that the passages referred to the Messiah. And Fran, that's been my experience when I have talked to Jewish people who are a little bit knowledgeable about Isaiah 53 and want to argue. They'll always argue it speaks of Israel, and yet historically it speaks of the Messiah and is given to us that we can identify the Messiah by the one who lines up with all those prophecies of Isaiah 53. So that is a key prophecy.
Amen, and I'll keep that one in mind. I can't wait to share that with the next Jewish person. Let me ask you, What kind of things can Christians do to help Jews understand that believing in Jesus is a very Jewish thing to do, not just a thing for the Gentiles?
Well, we must emphasize the Jewishness of what we believe. For example, when you refer to Jesus as Messiah, not as Christ. Christ is a English term, true, but it just grates. It's kind of like a piece of chalk on a board that you know, and when it's run the wrong way, and it just grates on your ears. So use Messiah instead of Christ. Emphasize the messianic prophecies from the Jewish Bible, not the Old Testament. It's not the Old Testament to the Jewish people. It's the Hebrew Scriptures or the Jewish Bible. So emphasize that this is from the Jewish Bible, the Hebrew Scriptures. This is the writings of the Jewish prophet Isaiah or Micah or whatever the case might be. And so keep on emphasizing how Jewish this message is. And again, you can mention to the person or ask the person, as I mentioned last week, should Jewish people believe in the Jewish Messiah? The only answer is yes. And then ask, if Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, shouldn't Jewish people believe in him? And again, the answer is yes, and you can transition from there and say, well, let's look at the prophecies in the Jewish Bible, what Isaiah, Micah, and others said, so we can identify who Messiah is.
Okay, if you're just listening today and you just tuned in, we're talking with Mark Robinson from Shalom Outreach Ministries. You can contact him by phone at 619-461-0109 or his website at shalomoutreachministries.com. My next question, you kind of answered it, but I'll ask anyway in case you want to add something. How important is an Old Testament understanding and witnessing the Jewish people? Should we just use the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures and just stay away from the New Testament?
Well, it's extremely important to use the Jewish Bible in sharing with a Jewish person. That's where you need to start. That's what book they accept. And you can show your Jewish friend the fulfillment of the prophecy from the Jewish Bible, or what we refer to as the Old Testament, in the New Testament. And so, yes, you can use the New Testament, but I would not suggest starting there. You want to start in the Jewish Bible. You want to show them the prophecies of Jesus being born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2, or you want to talk to them about the virgin birth, Isaiah 7:14, and then that great chapter, Isaiah 53, that tells about him dying for our sins and so much. And then you can go to the corresponding passages in the New Testament and show him that Jesus fulfills these prophecies. Because remember, he doesn't know much about Jesus. He only knows it because of his culture. He has not read the New Testament. So start in the Jewish Bible, start with the messianic prophecies, but then when given the chance, go to the New Testament and show the fulfillment in Matthew 1 or Matthew 2, the virgin birth, being born in Bethlehem, the fulfillment of those prophecies. But the emphasis should start always in the Jewish Scriptures.
Okay. How about what kind of response does a Jew who converts to Christianity face from his Jewish family and his Jewish friends? Is there any shunning or anything like that?
Oftentimes, a Jewish person will be rejected in some form or another by their family. Now, the reaction largely depends on the religious practice or the lack thereof of that family. For example, Reform or secular Jews pride themselves on their open-mindedness. They're usually very liberal in their thinking. And so when they have a family member who would believe in Jesus, they would probably be upset because that's not an acceptable thing. But they would not disown them. They would not cut them off in any way. That was the response when I believed in Jesus. I come from a Reformed, secular Jewish background, and my parents were not pleased at all, but they didn't cut me off. They didn't like the idea, and so they accepted me as their son, not pleased with my religious practice. But if it's a Orthodox background, there could be a more severe reaction to them accepting the Lord. And they could be a fairly antagonistic response to a family member believing in Jesus. And if you're talking with an Orthodox who's aware that there might be problems, you know, ultimately the bottom line, and that's whether it's Orthodox or Reform, is should we obey God or should we obey man and worry about man? And it's oftentimes a problem with Jewish people who are considering the claims of Jesus. What will my family think? What will my parents think? Or what will my spouse think? And I just try to get them to see that it's better to obey God than man. And God can handle the family if you'll just be obedient to Him.
Have your parents come to Jesus yet?
Unfortunately not. My mom is still alive. My dad died 4 or 5 years ago and didn't come to the Lord. And they are atheistic more than they are Reform, actually, and they have no belief in the Bible as the Word of God, and unfortunately no interest in even talking about Jesus as Messiah. And I've been able to talk to them very little. They will not allow a conversation to go on at all in any length.
What a shame. We'll have to pray for her. If you're interested in a CD of both parts of this interview, you can contact me. My email address is help@tower2truth.net, and my phone number is 610-513-5525. That's 610-513-5525. Our website, again, is tower2truth.net. And don't forget to tune in next week for another important apologetic issue facing Christianity today. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.